It's Paul Hamilton.
We should be friends.
He has the facts to back up his opinions.
Knuff just pooped his pants.
On WGR Sports Radio 550.
Oh, you know it. The legendary Paul Opens means only one thing, and that is that we've got Paul Hamilton joining us here on the Westar Hotline. Yes, I managed to coerce Paul to do this with me. Just me, no one else. And I don't know how I did it, Paul.
Well, I just wanted to be able to talk to Evan. So, you know, I got a good conversation.
There we go.
And now it's time to leave.
All right. We'll see you later, Paul. Have a good day and enjoy pregame at 6. That was Paul Hamilton. Paul, of course, you know, we have to be able to start things off laughing because, unfortunately, the start of this Sabres season has been no laughing matter as they've started 0-3. And a lot of the problems that showed up last season are on the early setting here, showing their ugly faces. Particularly the power play once again is struggling. The team is not getting a lot of scoring from this group right now. So far, only one goal in each of the first three games there. Paul, what is going on here that needs to change with this team? Are those answers readily available? And how long should people actually wait before they are allowed proper panic with this season?
Well, it's interesting because they play a completely different game, but the results are the same. They can't score goals. Their power play is horrendous. And it doesn't matter that they played just the way Lindy Ruff wanted. They played a good game. Very good game. Mm-hmm. I mean, look at the rebound opportunities on Lukanen. There were hardly any. I mean, one shot, the guys cleared it. And then off they went and they would break out of the zone with good breakouts. They weren't giving up a lot of outnumbered chances. The Sabres were the ones getting the outnumbered chances, not the Kings. You know, and then two bad errors wind up in their net, but it shouldn't have mattered. I mean, it's easy. They easily could have had 4, 5, 6 goals in that game where the Dahlin giveaway in the beginning of the third period and the Samuelson penalty wouldn't have mattered. You know, okay, yep. So it's 6-2 instead of 6-0, you know, type of a deal. And, you know, that's the thing. It's just mistakes are going to be made in a game. Now, those were, you know, an undisciplined penalty and just a mistake that your best player, a guy who's supposed to be an elite defenseman in this league, just can't make. And, you know, it's all of a sudden you're ahead by one goal and now you're behind. And, you know, Alex Tuch talked about how in that second game they didn't have their A game against the Devils, but it was 1-1, you know. And so find good teams, even though they don't have their A game, find a way to get a point out of that. Get it to overtime. That's another one of their problems. Last year they couldn't get any loser points. They were near the bottom of the league at picking up loser points. So those are valuable points that other teams around them got and they didn't. And, you know, you don't have your A game, but you got to find a way. Don't be sloppy. Don't give up outnumbered situations and be turning the puck over. You know, don't be careless type of a thing. You know, get yourself to a point where, all right, we can get it to overtime. We get to 1 point. Now let's see if we can steal the other one, you know, in 3-on-3 or in the shootout. And same thing with the Kings. You've entered the third period with a 1-0 lead. You should have had a 6-0 lead, but you're playing very, very well. And most teams, including the Sabres, quite frankly, when you enter the third period with the lead, you usually win the hockey game and or get points. Well, again, find a way to get points in that game. You can't play that well and leave that game with no points. So, you know, that's a thing. I mean, you look at the goal scoring, you know, in the last 85 games, which includes all of last year, the Sabres are 23rd in the NHL in goal scoring. In the last 85 games, they're 29th on the power play at 15.8%. That's not going to get it done. You are not going to be a playoff team with that. So it shouldn't be shocking that the Sabres don't score goals. They didn't score goals all of last year. They did not address getting a top six forward. So I don't know why anybody would be surprised that they don't score goals. Now, I don't have a crystal ball. They may all of a sudden, you know, kick in, and some guys may start scoring goals again. But, you know, Tage Thompson, it just seems like he shoots wide more than he shoots on net. And that's your guy that scored 47 goals a couple of years ago. And, well, if he doesn't hit the net, the puck's not going in. We do know that.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, he's just having trouble, you know, hitting the net. I have never seen a team hit more posts than this team does. I don't know what the answer is to that, Derek. I really don't. How do you stop hitting the post? I don't know. Mm-hmm. But they do hit the post all the time with great chances. And I don't have an answer for you how you improve on that, because there are a lot of goals you leave on the ice there where you have the goalie beaten, but you nail the post.
Paul, of course, you know, starting 0-3, a disastrous start here for Lindy Ruff's return to Buffalo, despite the fact that they have played well, I'd say, within like the last game and a half, I would say. I mean, New Jersey the second time around was a lot better of a game than the opening game of their season. However, I would like to turn a little bit of positivity into this, Paul. What has looked good on the Sabres so far? What has at least been able to impress you in the early going with Buffalo?
I really like the way they're defending,
mm-hmm.
you know, especially that last game where I had mentioned, and I think it's worth mentioning again. If you're not giving up second and third opportunities, you're gonna be in hockey games. And it helps your goaltending out. It helps everything out because, you know, all right, they get one opportunity. You clear the puck. You get the puck, and out you go. And there's too many times over the years where we just watch the Sabres get hemmed into their own zone. And, all right, there's one opportunity. There's two, and they can't get the puck. And they, I think they're better at battles this year, you know, seeing – the way that they can play under Lindy Ruff. I thought their battles were very good in the last game. I it seems like they're tougher to play against. I mean, Lafferty, you hate offensive zone penalties, and you'll hear Lindy Ruff talk about it in the pregame.
Mm-hmm.
But Lafferty has a couple of offensive zone penalties, but it's because he's crashing the zone. He's getting in there on the forecheck, and one time his stick came up accidentally, and that's one of them. I don't know if I'm going to get extremely upset with Lafferty when he's in there playing like that and being hard on the forecheck and hard to play against and making the defense look over their shoulder. It's like, where's Lafferty? Where's Malenstein? You know, that really helps the team. So you don't want to take penalties, I understand. But, you know, I don't know if I'm going to sit there and have a fit over him, you know, going in and working hard and getting into the zone and winds up with a penalty, unless it's a silly one. But I wouldn't consider his penalty silly penalties.
Paul Hamilton joining us here on the West Shore Hotline. Sabres taking on the Florida Panthers tonight. 7 o'clock faceoff. You'll be able to hear pregame starting at 6 here on WGR. Paul, one of the things that's caught my eye in a positive way, I would say, through the first three games is it looks like Owen Power has found a little bit of a more comfort in his game so far. What have you seen from number 25 as he's entering into this season here?
Well, you could actually say in the calendar year, he found that around January 1st,
mm-hmm.
and really had a very good second half to the season. No, I don't even think his first half was awful. I just think his second half was better. And he gets a lot of flack from fans, which I don't think he deserves. And a lot of it is in this town, if you're big and you don't hit, you're no good. And that's what happens with him and some others. Joki Haru. Joki Haru could be the best defenseman on the team, and a lot of fans will never see it because they don't see him hitting or fighting. Greenway takes a lot of flack in this town because he doesn't fight all the time. But yet, Greenway is a guy that probably is the best at the team at forcing the other team to turn the puck over. He's in on the forecheck all the time. That's why he works when he's out there with Thompson and Tuck. He doesn't necessarily score the goals, but he gets those guys opportunities because he's in on the forecheck doing the dirty work. He's around the net. And, you know, he forces the other team into turnovers. And then the other two join in, and it works pretty well. So I think that goes against Owen Power. But I agree with you. And it started, as I said, probably this calendar year where, you know, he played, I thought, pretty well. And it just in training camp, I thought he was their best defenseman. Dahlin couldn't participate in training camp. They put Byram and Power together. And it's had a few hiccups as a pair, but overall, I think it's been a very good pair.
Paul, of course, you don't want to call something as quick as the fourth game of the regular season must win. But to avoid going into such a deep hole already before teams are even playing in their third games, how important is this game here for Buffalo? You've got the defending cup champs coming in here today. And you need to get something going to get your season off on the right foot.
Well, let me see if I can make you feel better.
Let's do that, please.
The Sabres are 2 points out of first place.
There it is, everyone. That, like, you said it, and I like kind of like nodded my head, Paul. I'm like, huh, sick. That's actually really cool. That's a very positive way to do it, and I like that. You know what I'm about, Paul.
Now, everybody in the division has games in hand. But still, the bottom line is they're 2 points out of first place.
This is factually correct.
Yes, it can't turn into 5, 6, 7. They've tried that.
Mm-hmm.
I don't remember which season it was, but one of these seasons, and they started the season with what was it, a 7-game losing streak, or 6-1, or some goofy thing like that. They've tried that. It doesn't work.
they've tried that.
You know. Lindy Ruff was very frank about it, that, you know, they have to get off to a good start, and that hasn't happened. I mean, they are behind the eight ball as far as they've played 3 games and they don't have a win, but this is the hardest game they're going to play for a bit. And then they go on a 3-game road trip. I'm not saying there's easy games. They're not, because you're on the road, but you're playing 3 teams that you can beat in Pittsburgh, Columbus, and Chicago. So the Florida Panthers are playing without their captain, Barkov. That's a big part of their lineup that's out. And let's be honest, too. I mean, they won the Stanley Cup last year, but as what happens with Stanley Cup winners, they're usually pretty tight up against the cap, and they can't sign everybody. So mm-hmm. They did lose some players to free agency. Montour went to Seattle and others. Some of their grit left. So they're not the same team. They're good. I mean, I'm not trying to make you think they're not a good team.
Yep.
I would still think they have an excellent chance to win a second Stanley Cup in a row, but they certainly don't have, the same team, the same players that they had before. So if the Sabres play well and can find a way to score some goals, you got a chance here against the Florida Panthers, but you certainly have to be right on top of your game. And one thing I will guarantee you, they will not win if they score only one goal.
Yeah, that is very true. It's something that they need to break out of that trend there as well. Paul, when it comes to it, I say comfortably to kind of find out what a team is really made of, you wait until like the first 12 to 15 games of the season before you actually really start to see what a team is made of and the trends of that sort. We know how exasperated this fan base is, so I guess what I'm asking for you is, when do you think these fans should be able to recognize what the team is and react appropriately?
I thought they recognized it in the first game here. The fans were really, they were crazy. They were mm-hmm. They were loud. They were excited. You know, they were on the refs whenever there was what they, well, Everett calls a bad call to a home fan. But, when a penalty was called against the Sabres and, they were right on target. You know, when the Sabres would just miss, you would hear the loud groan. I mean, it wasn't the funeral that sometimes it seems like it's like up in this place.
Mm-hmm.
They were, and you know, when Benson appeared to have scored at the end of the first period, but again, a bad break where the puck went over the line. It was as close as you possibly could have come to score a goal at the end of the period, but it was the right call. I mean, the puck did not cross the line. It was on its way.
Yep.
It was right there, but it didn't cross the line before the clock hit zero. So, you get a bad break there, but the fans were as loud could be. I was getting ready for my first period walk-off interview, so I was underneath the stands, and it was loud where I was standing, down near the locker room.
Yep.
When that goal went in, or that almost goal went in. Same thing when Tuck, but you could feel the excitement as Tuck stole the puck and was walking in. You could feel the fans like lifted as it was happening, you know, and that's different than what. So I think they're already there. I mean, you know, Lindy Ruff got a fantastic ovation.
Yep.
When he was introduced, and they're already there. You didn't get to see your team win, but you certainly were entertained if you were here that night. I would say you probably got your money's worth. You saw a good hockey game from your team. You just saw a team that couldn't put the puck in the net. But, you know, there were a lot of things to like. It was an exciting hockey game. And, you know, you would think if they played more like that, they're going to win more games. But this is a team that can't score goals. Will they figure it out? I can't say. As I said, I don't have a crystal ball. I don't know if they'll figure it out. They haven't figured it out in the last 85 games, but that doesn't mean they won't by playing this way. But the other thing is, too, I was talking with somebody about this yesterday. Last year, when they did what Don Granato asked them to do, they usually played pretty well and won the game. Problem was, they didn't do it all that often. And maybe it was too complicated. I don't know. For whatever reason, they didn't do it all that often. So, will they play Lindy Ruff's the way Lindy Ruff wants them to play all the time? They have a history of not doing that. That doesn't mean they won't. This is a different coach. This is a coach that's going to, you know, be on them type of a thing. Yep. So, we don't know, but the history of what we saw last year tells us it's going to be very inconsistent. But it's a new coach. And we'll see if the consistency does come back. You would think, eventually, if you play like that, you're going to score goals. One guy that got to get going, and Lindy Ruff will talk about this in the pregame, is Jack Quinn. It's interesting that Dylan Cousins leads the team in shots on goal with 14. His right winger, Jack Quinn, who is an elite shooter, has one shot in three games. One. And Lindy Ruff, it was quite frank about that. He goes, it's something that they've talked about, and they've got to get Jack Quinn in position where he can shoot the puck because there's a guy who can score goals. But if he's not shooting the puck, what does Wayne Gretzky say? Something like you score on zero, shots that you don't take, you score 0% of the time or whatever the statement he was, something like that. You know, so you know, Jack Quinn's not going to score 30 goals in a season if he's only taking one shot every three games.
You miss 100% of the shots you don't take. That was the quote.
Thank you. Yep. Thank you.
I got you, Paul. See, I have a brain sometimes. So, last thing here, though, for you, Paul. You were at practice, obviously, this morning. Any lineup news that you need to let the people know?
Yeah, we talked to Lindy as far as morning skates. This is going to be new for the team. Lindy is very much listens to his sports science people, and he should, and is into analytics also. And he basically thinks morning skates are a waste of time. If a player wants to go out there, there's ice available. But he basically said before the season even started, most of the morning skates will be optional, and they have been. But I can tell you that Greenway and Power, who missed practice yesterday, were out there. Lindy Ruff basically said if they didn't have a setback in the skate, they should be okay. J.J. Paterka, I don't think he's having setbacks or he wouldn't be on the ice. He's been practicing and practicing hard, and I was just watching him up here before he went on the air, before they left the ice. He was going hard on that. But as Lindy Ruff said, he's just something about it just isn't ready. I don't know if it's baseline testing or what it is, but he is able to work out hard. I can tell you that. Lindy Ruff, the next game isn't until Wednesday in Pittsburgh, so Ruff anticipates Paterka being ready for that one. So he won't play tonight. Devin Levi will be in goal. I'm mildly surprised by that. I kind of thought he would use Luukkonen as a number one goaltender, but Devin Levi played very well last year at the end of the season. Huge improvement in his game, and played very well in the one game he played against New Jersey. So it looks like maybe they're going to alternate back and forth as far as goaltenders go. Luukkonen has done nothing to say, well, you know, we probably should put Levi in. It's not going very well. It's actually going very well for Luukkonen. He didn't, in both games he's played, he hasn't faced the shots that Levi did in his one game. But maybe they're going to do a thing like Boston did last year where Swayman and Allmark pretty much alternated. I think one might have played 44 and the other might have played 40. I'm going by memory, which is a little dangerous, but it was somewhere in there. They both were in the 40s, close to each other. So we might see more of that. We'll see how it goes, but Devin Levi will get the call and goal.
All right, Paul. We'll hear from you at 6 o'clock when you join in with Brian Koziel and hear you all throughout the Sabres game tonight.
Okay, take care of yourself.
You too, Paul. Good to talk to you. And, hey, maybe we'll see something there from the Sabres themselves as they take on the Florida Panthers tonight at KeyBank Center. 7 o'clock faceoff. You'll be able to hear pregame starting at 6 o'clock right here on WGR. When I was driving in today, I had realized, yeah, these last 2 weeks, these two teams have had their mess. And I think I'm going to pick on the Sabres with theirs a little bit more and dig in deeper. Coming up next here on Sports Talk Saturday, Derek Kramer, Evans on the board. Thanks to Paul Hamlin. You just heard him there on the Western Hotline. You're listening to WGR.